Yesterday, a blockbuster investigative story in the Boston Globe revealed something about former Liberian President Charles Taylor. Not that he oversaw the murder of more than a million people, we know that. Not that he was trading diamonds for guns. Not that he is the first African leader tried for war crimes. And not anything about gifting Naomi Campbell with a much-buzzed-about bag of blood diamonds. No, the Boston Globe revealed that Charles Taylor was working with U.S. spy agencies, including the CIA and the Pentagon, beginning in the early 1980s. Joining us now is David Crane, former chief prosecutor for the Special Court for Sierra Leone that indicted Charles Taylor in 2003. He's also a professor at Syracuse University School of Law. Professor Crane, good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, what is the status of Charles Taylor's prosecution? And then I want to get your reaction to the Boston Globe story.
Well, currently, the case against Charles Taylor is finished. The trial chamber is deliberating on his guilt or innocence, and we anticipate some type of ruling here within the next month or so, and then there'll be a sentencing phase. And if should he be found liable for the murder, rape, maiming, and mutilation of over 1.2 million human beings, he will spend probably the rest of his life in a jail in Great Britain.
What's your reaction to the Boston Globe revelation that he worked with the CIA and the Pentagon, possibly at the time he was committing these crimes?
Well, when I heard about this, I chuckled to myself. You know, there's lots of legend floating around in West Africa about many things. You mentioned it in your opening portion of this piece, diamonds and guns and cash and actresses and all of this. We heard rumors that Charles Taylor may be working for some type of intelligence organization, which is somewhat of a throwback to the Cold War, where the U.S. Probably did this more frequently than just Charles Taylor.
Does it affect the legal standing? Does it create a sense of complicity as far as the U.S. officials are concerned? According to the Boston Globe sources, Taylor was considered an intelligence source because he knew a lot about Muammar Gaddafi. Were they close?
Oh, yes, indeed. They were very close. Muammar Gaddafi, Charles Taylor, Blaise Campori were the center point of what we call the West African Joint Criminal Enterprise that traded guns, diamonds, and gold for almost 20 years. And he was very much involved with Muammar Gaddafi. But, you know, this revelation wasn't relevant to my work in West Africa at all. It shouldn't affect the case at all. It's more of an embarrassment to the U.S. But, you know, this is not outside the U.S.'s policy is to deal with, work with, and pay off heads of state to get information.
Your reaction to this before we go, someone like Charles Taylor, who can be bought, maybe is the ideal intelligence source, and so it's a rationale for the U.S. to deal with a person like that.
Yes, I don't disagree with you again, but this is more a throwback of the Cold War era where we used to use dictators and thugs to provide us information and for regional information and intelligence, and this is probably what this is just that.
Well, fascinating detail. David Crane is the former chief prosecutor for the special court in Sierra Leone that indicted Charles Taylor, the former president of Liberia, back in 2003. The case is still pending. He's now a professor at Syracuse University College of Law. Thanks so much, Professor.
My pleasure, and have a good morning.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.